Here is a Psalm of David. And we're just going to jump right into the middle of this psalm because, and this whole psalm is beautiful and there's so much that we can take away from that. But for our topic today, we're grabbing these three verses. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths. And behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Now, if you notice on the monitor, we just read the ESV translation, which is what I usually preach out of, but just to help us kind of understand a little better what King David just said to us, we're going to read it in the New Living Translation as well. So just bear with me. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, and thank you that lives are going to be changed, that you will bless the message, and that you will open our hearts and our ears to receive. And Father God, thank you for deliverance for us. Thank you that you set the captives free. Father God, I ask you right now to silence anything that doesn't need to be said. Out there in the crowd, Father God, silence what does not need to be said. Mute the mouth that does not need to talk. And thank you that we will focus on your word and that your word will be delivered. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in the church building said, give the Lord some praise. So look, this is kind of a weird sermon, right? We're talking about life being short. It's kind of weird, right? You know, we want to do an uplifting message. This is an uplifting message, okay? And this is where God led me, and I feel confident about that. And sometimes when I hear people say, well, God told me this, God told me that, we can be like, well, really? Really? Did he really? Well, that's between them and the Lord, by the way. But see, I know that this is where I'm supposed to be this morning. So this is where we're going to be. And I just pray that it's a blessing to all of us. But let's go ahead and go to slide 2. Amen to that. Oh, Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah. So whenever you see that word Selah in the Psalms, there's a lot of discussion about what that means. This is pretty much what I gather. When you see it say Selah, God is saying, stop and soak in what you just read. Stop and think about what you just read, okay? We've already read those two verses 2 times, and we see what's going on here. David is saying, God, remind me, don't let me forget this, because you get involved in the day-to-day stuff, and life just keeps moving, and God, and David says, remind me that life just keeps moving. Remind me that life is short. Keep that always fresh in my mind is what he's saying. Amen. And so Job 9:26, Job has a little bit to say about this as well. Okay. So Job 9:26, he says, talking about his days, talking about his life, he says this, they go by like skiffs of reed, like an eagle swooping on the prey. Well, that's pretty poetic. What Job's saying, they go by like skiffs of reed. He's saying, my life has been like a fast boat, man. It's there and then it's gone. You ever seen them dudes on like ESPN or something where they're driving them really, really fast boats, man? You know, and it looks like they're going so fast they're kind of skimming on top of the water. And it looks like they're going to flip over backwards on themselves, and they usually do. You know what I mean? It seems like such a dangerous thing, man. But anyways, those boats are really fast. Job is saying, take a fast boat and see how fast it moves down the river, man. That's how my life has been, man. It's just so fast. And he says, like an eagle swooping on the prey. You know, like the Blue Angels flying by, man. You know, they just had the big thing there out on the beach, you know. And so I've seen a lot of pictures, man, of the Blue Angels just here 1 second, over the horizon the next. That's what Job is saying with the information he has, what he's trying to convey. He's saying, man, life is just fast, man. It moves so fast. And then Ecclesiastes, Solomon, wisest guy ever, okay, this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. He's saying life is made up of seasons, man. You know, seasons don't last forever. You know, that's kind of by definition what a season is. He's saying life's made up of seasons, okay? And seasons move pretty fast. Can I get a witness? Now, don't think about like, winter, spring, southern, winter, spring, summer, fall, right? That doesn't really work here in Florida where we have like 8 months of summer. You know what I'm saying? But think about it like this. Think about like when you were a child, when you were a kid, okay, and you could not wait for your birthday. Remember them days? And it took forever and ever and ever and ever for your birthday to get there. And kids, they start celebrating their birthday a few months before it even happens. You know what I mean? Okay. When we were kids, man, it like took forever for a special day to come along. But now, think about this one. How often do you have a birthday? Well, every year, every 365. No, think about how fast it goes by, man. It seems like you just had one. Now you have another one. Now, you know, that's what Solomon is saying, man. Life's made up of seasons, bro. And seasons move by pretty fast. So let's go to slide 3. God is good. Psalm 103. This is David again. So far, we've heard from David. We've heard from his son Solomon. And we heard from Job. Let's see what David says in Psalm 103. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower. Of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. David says, look, man, it's like a beautiful patch of grass or a beautiful group of flowers, man. They weren't there, then they're there, and you say, man, that's pretty. And then the next day, they're all dried up and withered. And not only that, a couple of days later, you can't even tell for sure where that patch of grass was. You can't even tell where those flowers were. You know, he's saying, look, you only got a certain amount of time, man. You only have a certain amount of time to make a difference in your world. We only have that certain amount of time. We got that dash. When you look at a tombstone, and we all have done it, you know, all we have control over is that little dash. We don't have any control over born on this date, passed away on this date, but we have something to say about that dash in between. You know, what are we going to do with the time that God has allowed us to have? And so David is saying, remind me, let me remember this when I'm going through the day to day, when I'm doing the thing, help me remember, man, that I only got a certain amount of time. You know, back in the old days, back in the Bible days, on a receipt, on transactions, they would write memento mori on these receipts, which means remember death. Remember death. You'd have a transaction, and you'd be like, okay, paid in full, and by the way, remember death. Or here's the money I owe you, but remember death. It was a constant reminder, you only have a certain amount of time. You might have just got a lot of money. You might just have paid a bill. You might just did whatever, but don't forget that you only have a certain amount of time here. That's what we're talking about, man. This is what God wants us to talk about. Can I get a witness? As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. We have a certain amount of time to make that impact. You know, it doesn't matter how famous you are. Talks about, I don't even know where those flowers are. I don't know where they were. It was somewhere over here. Maybe it was over there, but I can't even remember where they were exactly. That's talking about, man, you only have a certain amount of time. And it really doesn't matter how famous or how prosperous you are. You know, think about the family members you got way down your family line. At best, you may have a picture on the wall of somebody that you don't know, you know? That's kind of what it's talking about. Saying, this world will forget you really fast, man. Doesn't matter how famous you are. You know, who in here, I said this last time. I remembered this when I was studying. I was like, man, I must have talked about this fairly recently because I remember saying this. But you know, I mean, think about the famous movie stars, the famous actors from yesteryear. Yeah, we remember the Marilyn Monroes. Yeah, we remember the Clark Gables and stuff like that. But 50 years from now, who's going to remember them? Who remembers Fatty Arbuckle? Who remembers Harold Lloyd? Well, the point I'm trying to make is it, I know, Michael. I know. That's what I remember from last time. Well, it's like, yeah, Michael remembers and Rick McClary remembers. You know, but what I'm saying, man, time moves fast. You only have a certain amount of time to make an impact, and you want to make the right impact, right? It's about God's kingdom. Can I get a witness? It's about God's kingdom because that is what matters. Amen? Give the Lord some praise. So we've read all these verses so far, and we got this going on, man. Life is short. We know that. You didn't need to come here to know that. But the thing is, as David says, remind me. And see, that's the thing. We don't want to be reminded of that. But what God is saying is God says, memento mori. God says, remember that you only have a certain amount of time, okay? And God has blessed us with this precious gift. You know what I mean? We don't have to exist. We didn't have to exist, but God chose us to exist. Every single person in here is a winner already. How dare you say that? My life, I've never, okay, yeah, whatever, dude. What I'm trying to say is you are the one that won. You're the one that's here, man. God picked you and formed you in your mother's womb and said, I need a sister Bray. I need a brother Dustin. I need a brother Scott. I need these people. I want them to enjoy this life, and I want them to make a difference in this world. Amen. For God's kingdom. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Now let's see what Moses has to say. All right. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days. That's the same thing we just read like four times, basically. David said, remind me that my life is short. Moses said, so teach us to number our days. Remind me, Lord, that my life is pretty brief. So teach us to number our days. But Moses adds this. He says, don't just remind me of what's going on, that my life is short. But he says, do this as well. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. He says, I don't just want to know that my life is moving fast. I don't want to just know that my life is moving fast, but I want wisdom, God. I want to use each day that I have with wisdom. I want to make good decisions. Okay, it's like this. Moses says, God, teach us to make the most of our days. Let us be productive, Lord. Let us prioritize. Amen. So not only remind me that life's short, but give me wisdom on how to use the time that I have. Give the Lord some praise. Help me to use my time wisely. Amen. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Yeah, we got that right there. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesian church saying, you guys need to live a godly life. You guys need to follow God, live a godly life. And this is what he says to the Ephesian church, making the best use of the time. says, don't waste your time, Ephesian Christians. Make the best of your time. Prioritize what is important and then follow that rule. Do triage and do what is important. Amen? Says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Paul says, look, man, there's a lot of bad stuff out there that can sidetrack you. There's a lot of bad stuff out there that you can get involved in. Okay? There's a lot of lies from the devil that can slow you down. There's a lot of temptations out there that can mess you up. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of wickedness. Okay? He's talking to Christian folks. And he's saying, hey, look, the days are evil. Okay? Don't get wise. Trust in God. Amen? Don't think that you know what's best. All right, the days are evil, man. There's a lot of deception out there. But make the best of your time. Follow God with your time. Amen? Can I get a witness, guys? Thank you, Jesus. Moses says, don't just remind me that life's short. Give me wisdom to deal with this. The Apostle Paul said, guys, you only got a certain amount of time. All right? And the days are evil. Satan's doing his thing, church people. Satan's people are doing their thing, but you're not those people. You've been bought at a price. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, you're not like everybody else. We are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, you know, God says we need to be a living sacrifice, that we need to lay our life down on the altar every single day, every single morning, and say, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want, Lord, because your son died for me. His blood was shed for me, and I have been a wicked, vile sinner. And the blood of Jesus Christ has washed my sins away. And I will serve you. I will lay my life down on a daily basis. Well, no, you only live once, and life is short and fast, and I need to do this. Yeah, life is short, and life is fast. And God puts you here to honor him. Amen? He says, because the days are evil, man. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. Huh? Make the most of your time. Let's go to slide 4. I'll be honest with you. When I was preparing this, there was a lot of prayer and stuff. And, God knows what we need. God knows what we need. So that's all I'm going to say. So slide 4. This is the last slide, really what I was alluding to. Life is short, dude, right? I can't be stuck in a church building all day on a Sunday. It's the Lord's day. I need to get out there and, anyways, tell the truth, shame the devil. Some people like punk rock, some heavy metal. Okay, what? What just happened? Okay, I think his sugar's getting messed up now. I'll tell you, it's going one way or the other. I'm not quite sure, but it's going somewhere. Okay, Psalm 39 and verse 6. This is David again. This is part of our main text. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. You know, there it is for a second, and then it's gone. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Or we can say it like this, all your busy rushing around ends in nothing. Think about that. This is God talking through David saying, I want my people to understand this, that a lot of the running around you think you got to get done where you're running here and there like a chicken with your head cut off, it's not the most important thing in the world. Can I get a witness? Right? So remember what Moses said. Moses said, you know what? Give me a heart of wisdom. Help me prioritize, Lord. Let me know what's truly important. And I want to do that because time is short. Amen? Matter of fact, we got time. So in Luke, there is this story, and this happened. This is not a parable. This is part of Jesus's life. So Jesus had these special friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were a family, two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. These were special friends of Jesus Christ. How would you like to be a friend of Jesus Christ? He wants us to be his friend. He wants us to be his friend. But remember, we got to have that reverence for our God as well. Amen. Remember, prioritize. Let me have respect and reverence for my Lord and Savior. Can I get a witness? But see, okay, so Jesus had these friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. Jesus liked to take his disciples over there. It was like a place to rest, a place to recharge, kind of away from the madness of the ministry and the crowds. Martha would cook food. Anyways, that's what we're going to talk about for a second. So Martha, one of the sisters, is cooking food. She's preparing this feast for Jesus and his disciples. Well, Jesus is in the other room teaching. Well, Martha's sister, Mary, is sitting at Jesus' feet. So we got one sister busting her fanny working in the kitchen. We got one sister sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the teaching, just soaking up everything that Jesus is saying. And then you got Martha, the one working, preparing the food. She's getting frustrated. She's thinking, man, I'm doing all this myself. I'm doing a good thing. I'm trying to make Jesus' favorite meal, but I'm doing it all by myself. You know, and every time she walks by, she sees Mary just smiling, looking at Jesus, just looking up at him, soaking up every word he's saying. So Martha probably getting a little louder as she walks by, banging pots and pans, trying to get Mary's attention, looking over at her, getting frustrated and more frustrated. And finally, Martha had enough. And so she goes and interrupts Jesus. And this is what she says. Oh, I didn't write that part down. Does anyone know what she said to Jesus? Now, this is what she said to Jesus, basically. She was like, Jesus, she interrupts Jesus's teaching. Like, Jesus, please tell my sister to come help me in the kitchen. And this is what Jesus said. I wrote this part down. Luke 10:41 and 42. This is what Jesus said to Martha. Remember, Martha wasn't doing a bad thing. She was doing a good thing. There's nothing evil at all about what she was doing. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Man, you know you're in trouble when Jesus says your name twice. Dana, Dana. It's like Paul. But thank God for those moments when he says Paul. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He's like, Martha, you are a mess, man. You know, you're worried and stressed out about this, but you're also stressed out about a bunch of stuff. This is just the straw that broke the camel's back, Martha. You know what I mean? You are just so worked up and so anxious and so stressed out. This is what he says. And troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Say, Martha, look at what's going on right here. I need you to prioritize the situation. Us having that wonderful meal ain't the biggest, most important thing. That can wait. You know, we can get Uber Eats. We can do Uber Eats. All God's people said, Uber Eats. I can't even say. He's saying, that's not the big deal, man. We can do that later. Just bring out some olives and some of that flatbread stuff. He says, this is what's important, Martha. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, number one, you are just worked up and stressed out because you're just running here and there thinking this is the most important thing, right? He said, number one, you're just working yourself up. Number two, Mary chose the right thing, man, to sit at my feet and to listen, you know? And he says, number three, no, Martha, I'm not telling her to get up and help you. Matter of fact, pull up a chair, homie. You know? That's what he, okay, so here's the thing. Surely a man goes about as a shadow, life's fast. Surely for nothing, they're in turmoil, or all our busy rushing ends up in nothing, man. We just waste so much time, man. When we look back, it's like, I was so trying to get all this done, and I missed out on what was truly important. And I don't want that to happen to us anymore, amen? God doesn't want that to happen to us anymore, you know? Continue. Everybody doing all right? Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing, they are in turmoil. A man heaps up wealth and does not hope and does not know who will gather. A man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. We can work so hard, man, to work so hard. And listen, we got to work hard. Christian people are supposed to work hard. You know what I mean? Christian people are supposed to work hard. We're supposed to be the best workers. The Bible says you don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat, right? God wants us to work hard. But he's saying sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses, man. You know, sometimes you got to say, God, I need a heart of wisdom on what I'm really supposed to do right now. You know, because sometimes it gets really, really confusing. But we got to be like Moses saying, it's moving fast and I need your guidance. I need your wisdom, man. I want to do what's right here. You know, I ain't got a lot of time, man. And I want to make an impact on my family's life, on my world, my little sphere of influence, right? You know, because that's what lasts forever. The pages of history, it won't be too long. There won't be a single person above ground that knows anything at all about Fatty Arbuckle. Sooner or later, you know, ain't no one going to know about that cat. You know, God bless them. But what we do for the kingdom, that's what lasts forever. You know what I mean? So we can accumulate so much. And I'm not saying we don't plan. I'm not saying we don't work hard. I'm not saying we don't get an education. Those are all great things. God is just saying, I want my people to prioritize. I don't want them wasting their time just earning a bunch of stuff that eventually they're going to have to leave for other people to fight over. Amen? Can I get a witness? Now, we've all heard the stories about the little old ladies being found dead in their apartments. And you've heard these stories, right? Right? You've heard? No. You know, so I heard this story about this little old lady. She was found dead in her apartment. And so they pull her out of the apartment and like, oh my goodness gracious. Her mattress was stuffed, slammed full of money that, you know, she was just hoarding it. But she never got to use it. Well, money's a tool. Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay. So anywho, I do want to talk about something else real fast. So as I'm doing this study, I begin to think about this parable. Now, what's a parable? Jesus would talk in parables. Jesus would preach in parables or teach in parables. Parables are like an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. An earthly story with a spiritual meaning. He would compare something and say, well, that's how the kingdom of heaven is. Just like that. You know? In one of these stories, he talks about the rich fool. Now, this guy right here, this is just an example that Jesus was giving. So he talks about this rich fool, and he says, look, there's this farmer dude, the farmer guy. And man, he was really, really having some productive days, man. He was doing so good with his harvest that he was like, man, I don't have no more place to store all my harvest, man. My barns are just slap full. And then the guy says, well, you know what? I think I'll tear down these barns and build bigger barns. And then I'll have plenty of room. And I'm going to have so much stuff in these barns that I'm just going to be able to sit and relax and just take it easy for the rest of my days, man. And this is what Jesus says. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong to work hard and put away. Amen. Notice the dude worked hard for it. This was his farm. He did the hard work. Amen? Wasn't doing nothing evil. This is what God says, though. Luke 12 and 21. But God said to him, fool. How many of you want God to say that to you? But God said to him, fool. Why would he be a fool? He wasn't doing anything wrong. His priorities were messed up. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you." Well, how about them apples? Like, dude, you ain't going to get to enjoy none of this stuff. Man, you should have stopped a little bit. Smelled the roses. Take the old lady around the block looking at whatever, you know. This ain't got to prioritize, man. Put God first. But God said to him, I'll tell you, getting sick and going through what I went through the last couple of years, or really last year, does do something to you. You know, you begin to look at things a little different. Seriously. You're like, man, this was so important a couple months ago. I mean, that means nothing. Nothing. Why was I so worried about that? Time is so precious and so valuable. And it's not just your time or your life is moving fast. Everybody's life's moving fast, man. And we don't know, man. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much time they have. And God is pleading with us, slow down. Just slow down. It's okay if the bed doesn't get made when you think it needs to get made. You know, there's time for that. Can I get a witness? But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Like, man, you worked really, really hard. Ain't no denying that. And man, you got a bunch of money in them barns. Yeah, I mean, you do, but you know, you're not going to get to spend any of that. Your kids are going to be fighting over that. Whose will they be? Not yours. Verse 21. Now, this is what Jesus makes the comparison. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So is it wrong to lay up treasure for myself? Is it wrong to try and save money and invest money and have money laid up for a rainy day? No, not at all. He's saying, look, it's the priority thing, man, is the problem. He's saying, you should have been rich toward God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. He said, put God first, man. Put God first. And then everything else will fall into its proper place. Can I get a witness? So this whole little thing has just been about life's fast, and we need to prioritize. We need to make a difference. You know? Okay, so how do I prioritize, man? Proverbs 3:6-7. Because you've been good, I'm going to add Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7. You earned it. Look at your neighbor and say, you earned it. Okay, so Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So we're talking about living that productive life, prioritizing what is truly important. Okay, so number one, let's look at it like this. Trust in, just give me like three more minutes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me make that real easy for you to understand. Take God's word and believe it. Take God's word and believe it. Take God's word and believe it to be 100% true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe God's word 100%. Do not lean on your own understanding. You know, man, I'm sounding like a preacher right now. Do not lean. And I say unto thee, do not lean. What's wrong? I've never said it like that before. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Okay? Don't deceive yourself, all right? Thinking, well, I better do this, I better do that. No. What does God's word say? What does God's word say? Don't lean on your own understanding. Think, well, I got to get this done right now. Or what, man? What's going to happen if you don't? I'm going to get in trouble with my old lady. I dig that. I understand. What I'm saying, let's just pray. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Now look at verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Trust in God's word. Believe God's word to be true, 100% of it. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him. So I believe his word to be true, and then I submit to God's word. It's not just believing it to be true, but letting it guide and lead my life. Amen? Talking about making the best of my time. So I'm going to believe it to be true. I'm not going to deceive myself or sidetrack myself anymore, but I'm going to submit to God's word and do what it says, even if my flesh doesn't want to do it. You know, we get so comfortable with our sin. Amen. Can I get a witness? We get so comfortable with our sin. Well, it's okay for me. Well, what does God's word say? That's what matters, you know, because God's not going to wink at our preferred sin or our hidden sin. A lot of us in here, we got the hidden sin, right? Okay. But also we see other people's sin out there in the open. You're like, oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe that. What about you? What about you? You just think you're hiding it? You're not hiding it from him. You know what I mean? So I'm talking about myself. You know, we get on our little high horse and we like to look down on other people. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness. You know what I mean? It's all of us. We're all messed up without Jesus Christ, you know? And when we accept Jesus Christ, my sins are washed away. But don't think for a second God is cool with us living like we ain't been washed by his blood. You know what I mean? He says, you've been forgiven. Now act like and live like you're one of my kids. You know what I mean? And you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. So I can get really, really negative really fast. I get really, really down. I can see, we take God's word. We believe it. We believe it what it says about us and not what the devil said about me. Amen? Not what my neighbor said about me. All right? That's what I'm saying. Believe his word. And I submit to his word, man. You know, you got a job, you got a day job, you know, you got a job where you're doing the thing, right? You got to submit to the boss or you're not going to have that job very long, right? Right? Well, he's 10 years younger than me and he don't know. Well, look, dude, you know what I mean? If you want the job, you got to do that. I work for myself. Good for you. You work for yourself. You're working for those customers, right? You're working for them. You got the real deal going on right there, okay? You got to please those customers, amen? And you're the one that's done invested so much into it. Follow God. In all your ways, submit to him. And this is what God promises us. And he will make straight your paths. Can you believe that? That's something that God says, this is what I'll do. If you do this, I'll do this. You believe my word to be true. Don't waste time deceiving yourself. Believe my word to be true. Submit to my word, and I'll make your path straight. I'll get you to the place in life where you need to be. You know? So he says, life's fast, man. Life's fast. It's moving fast, and it's picking up speed, right? Can I get a witness? Moses said, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Let me be productive. Let me have wisdom with how I spend the rest of my days. And this is how we're going to have wisdom. We submit to the word of God. We let God be our boss. And he says, when you follow me and do what I say, you're not going to be the most popular kid on the block. Not everybody's going to think you're super cool. You might lose some friends. You might even have family members that get rid of you because you're following me now. But this is the deal. When you follow my word, I will get you to the place you need to be. And that's what we're here for, is to give him glory. Amen? That's good news. He will make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. Well, if I said, okay, church people, we're going to go to the Circle K. Don't go to the Tom Thumb because I don't want y'all crossing the street. We're going to go to the Circle K, and everybody gets a free corn dog and a free egg roll. You get one, but not you can't get both. You get one or the other, and it's on me. I'm paying for it. But look, I want to do this. I want us to go through the neighbor's yard over there. Don't worry about their dog. He's got the mange, but it ain't going to bite you. go through the neighbor's yard, go through behind that shopping center, go through the swamp behind the woods, and then come through the parking lot, and then go over the water sprinkler dude's fence over there, and then meet me at the Circle K. And when you get there, I already have decided whether you want the egg roll or the corn dog. What would I just say? We just go all the way around. Paul, thank you for the offer, but why don't we just walk on the sidewalk there and be there in like 1 minute? How about that? Why don't we make our path straight, Paul, and get there, and I'll let you know if I want the corn dog or the egg roll. Matter of fact, I'll throw in a buck and I'll get both of them. But let's just go straight there because I ain't got all day. That's what God's saying, man. I'll make your path straight because you just keep going around and around and around. But he says, submit to me, follow my word, and I'll make your path straight. We'll make up that time. We'll make up that time because time is short. He said, I'll make up that time, man. We'll make that up. Well, how's he going to do that? He's God. I'm not. He'll make it up. Amen. But see, here's the deal. Here's the skinny. Here's the 411. Verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Because that's a problem. Submit to me. I'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think, well, I'm going to do what I want to do because I know better than God. In reality, we would never say that. Christian folk, you know, that know God is real, that know his son died for us, there's no way we would mouth those words and mean it. I know better than God, because we know that's not true. But our actions say otherwise all the time. Paul writes, I'm Paul Wright, and I'm saved by grace. Paul Wright does it all the time. I act like I know better than God. I know what God's word says, and believe me, I know God's word. I do. I know it pretty good. Pretty good. That's one thing you can say about me. Say, he knows the word of God pretty good. I've asked him a lot of questions. He's got the answer. So, just like you. But see, here's the deal, man. Sometimes we're like, I know what God's word says, but I'm going to be wise in my own. Because I think I know what's better for my unique situation. My situation is unique. I don't know. I'm sure somebody's been through a little something like that. You know, but we get wise in our own eyes. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. I want to make your path straight. You know what I mean? Be not wise in your own eyes, and this will help. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Really? Really? You want to tell me to fear? I just couldn't serve a Lord that wants me to be afraid of him. No, man. He wants us to have an awe-inspiring reverence for who he is. You know what will keep you from getting a spanking from your daddy, right, is having respect for what he says, right? When he says, don't do that. I love you. I love you, but don't do that. If you do that, you got consequences that you're not going to like that are bound up with those actions, right? He's not being mean. He's being loving, right? So he says, keep that fear, keep that reverence for our God. You know, submit to him, believe his word to be true, reap the benefits of that, and submit to that word. Don't deceive yourself. Don't get wise in your own eyes. Amen. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Those go hand in hand, don't they? If I have reverence for my God, I'm going to turn away from evil. And see, sometimes we don't see things evil that are really evil, you know, because we like it. We like it, you know. I like gossiping. I like stealing a little bit of action. What? I just like to skim a little bit off the top here and there. That's just how I am. Sometimes we don't see it as evil, but when you have reverence for the Lord, you'll listen to the Holy Spirit that says, no, no, Paul, no, don't do that, right? That's what we're here for, man, amen, to give God glory, and we only have a little bit of time, you know, and so we submit to him, follow him. He'll make up the time that we lost, you know what I mean? you can have a very impactful life, you know. And we all have a ministry. You know, we all have a platform of some sort, you know, and God says, use that, you know, at your place of work, with your kids, wherever. Make the most of your time. I'm going to close with this, man. And so, but yesterday, and I don't like using myself as like the good example. And I mean that. It's always better if you use somebody else doing the right thing. I think it sounds kind of silly when the preacher's like, guess what I did? But I am a little proud of myself. I don't mind saying that. So super busy yesterday. I needed to get up here and support. And I really covet that time with the Lord on Saturdays. And plus, my flesh starts getting a little stressed out if I'm not kind of here by a certain amount of time. You know, it's like, I don't have anybody making me do it, but I there's a time when I want to be here so I can spend time with the Lord and whatever and be pretty thing. Everybody waves your hands like that. So my kid comes out. I ain't seen this kid in days. Kid comes out and he sits down. He just starts talking to me. And I'm like, you know what? You're one of mine, aren't you? Are you just visiting one of my, are you? Okay. So my kid, he comes out and he starts talking to me. And my flesh is saying, you know what? I just got to cut this short, man. I got to get up and go do the thing. It's a good thing. I got to go. Go before the Lord and get prepared so I can share the good news of the Lord Christ to the flock and all that sort of thing. But look at here. And this sounds so stupid. I feel so stupid saying this. But the Lord poked me, man. And he was like, don't you get up. You sit here and you hang out with me. See, well, that's what I'm saying, man. Submit to God. He knows how to prioritize things. And I know that sounded really weird and stupid, you know, but my heart was like, I love you, but I need to get up, man. I got to go. But God was like, don't you dare get up. Don't you dare sit there and hang out with him. Listen to what he has to say. I'll make up the time. Sow into his life. And so, and like I said, man, you know, I really don't like using myself as that type of example. But just let that encourage you, because sometimes we think, well, I got to go do this. I got to go do this. Rain or shine, by 11 a.m., I got to get up there and you know what I'm saying? But what's truly important, man?